Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
A quick story on the origin of toasting. First I'll give you a little bit of the history of toasting, and then I'll give you a wrap-up of where podcasting is getting me and how it's good and how it's bad. So the history of toasting, people in Britain will notice, in the British Empire will notice the toast as a formal part of a dinner where everyone says, be upstanding, stupid, charge your glasses to give your toast and stuff like that. And then they'll say a quick thing, and then they'll say a very short 5 words, which everyone repeats. They hold up their glass and goes through. And it's survives, I suppose, in weddings, but formal occasions, formal dinners, they have a toast, and, you know, propose a toast, and there's a process of it. Very ancient thing. Now, the actual, where does toast come in? Well, in the Middle Ages, the wines were a bit rough, and the way that you get out a piece of sediment and the shit is to drop in a piece of toast into your wine. If you left it in your wine for too long, the toast would go all yucky and stuff like that. So you had to put your toast in, and then after a certain amount of time, drink it. So proposing the toast is, what would happen is that someone would go around with the toast, freshly cooked bread, apparently only worked with hot bread, everyone would have the toast, and someone would say, I propose a toast. And the toast was a speech, more time the amount of people at a time in there. They put in the toast, and then down the wine. So if you smoked for too long, your toast was shit. And it allowed this process to occur. And so this is how it occurred, a proposing toast. Now, the other thing, aspect of it, is the idea of a communal thing where everyone says something. So that's the origin of the I propose a toast. It actually literally means put a piece of toast in a drink and a speech and stuff like that. Then the actual proposing of a toast is back in the day, before writing an oral history, contracts, people were schooled and really trained in the fact that if you could make someone say something, it was equivalent to brainwashing them and making them do it. So if you force someone to say, I will put out the cat of the night, I will, and then that is a way of saying, well, you're programmed, and they had the entire society built on the belief. And, look, there's no evidence that, I could well understand that if there were psychological studies done at that stage, there would be actually a strong belief that you could be programmed. But the idea of a toast and stuff like that is that you're able to see everything. And this is the clinking glasses So in general, there's two aspects. There's the clinking glasses. Also from the ancients, the idea is that as you clink the glasses, the wine from one wine would spill into the others, or get rid of spirits. All these this ancient beliefs. So the toast is an ancient tradition. The idea that you click your glasses, you tend to an informal. At least in birthday parties in our place, when we have the thing where you click every glasses and then you drink it. This is at New Year's or anything like this. So it's stupid. If it's New Year's Day and everyone holds up a drink, you click it and you drink it. So there's a period of time, communal aspects of it, still alive today. But trying to get back to the idea of the enormous idea of programming it. The idea that everyone says amen, we're still in the RSL, say, the Oath of Allegiance. Now, it means absolutely nothing to a young person, but it means a lot to these older people. And it's sort of hard to say. It's like there's no scientific proof for it. However, it does very much exist in the minds of these people. Just see how I'm going for time. Okay. I should be able to do reasonably well. I'll have to get my skates on. I've got to catch a train on time. Yeah, so there's the oath. So I'm going to continue this podcast with a sort of wrap-up of where podcasts are going and the process of it. Okay, I'm back again after getting a few supplies. We're going into Sydney today, catching the 6:26 train. So that gives you an idea, and it's 6:15 at the moment. So I'll have to get my skates on because it's I'll have a few minutes to spare getting down there. Now, look, I gave a quick story on toasting, and I'm going obviously to Toastmasters where they're speaking, and there's a whole lot of speaking about the actual structure of toast. Toastmasters, they talk about the structure of toast. I'm sure people have heard these stories over and over and over again because they have to filibuster. I think it's filibustering, this is where you have to speak and give a bit of logic in what you're speaking, but not necessarily have any content. Sort of coherence without I suppose form without substance might be it. And it is very interesting that for all of this, no one there has actually gone into the actual depth of it. And so they're floating. And I'm obviously doing podcasting, which is sort of a parallel activity. But it's a parallel activity which overcomes the fundamental aspect that no one really wants to listen to. And they're sort of like a double layer. They don't want to listen to you. And also, they don't want to listen to structure and meaning. There's two aspects. People really want to run their lives in a mode of no information, I know what I'm doing, let's just work through the processes of where things are. I'm not going to worry myself. So people really live their life in terms of sort of like swimming underwater. They want to get from point A to point B. They swim underwater, close their ears, close their minds, and only at particular times when they're doing a purchase or they're phoning something up or they're set up, are they prepared for new information. So if you have someone who's had their reboot buttons set, and they're, relatively intelligent, or I don't think it's intelligence, but sort of goes into the detail, a details person, and who doesn't fit? Look, there's a whole lot of people. Yeah, Glenn Brooks at the very early morning at this setup. Just checking, I'm going for time. 26. I'll get there in time. And see what we've got in terms of time. Oh yeah, okay. I'll be barely okay. You've got this layer, and I can sort of see how people are schooled in insulating their mind from information. So really, if they just meet someone on the street or meet someone buying some potatoes somewhere or doing their gardens, they're not up for an intellectual conversation. I can sort of understand why, because they've geared their life not to do it. Now, was the world always like this? I suppose. You've got to believe or understand that people live their lives in villages and basically lived a very controlled life. And I suppose, a very ignorant life. So what they'd be... I'll absolutely shoot myself on my leg for this. They will... part of living their life is... not thinking, being highly reliable. Members of my society do what they do. They think what they think, and I've told them that they can think for themselves. And so a lot of people just simply live sort of in a cocoon of self-imposed ignorance. And this is what socialization, domestication is, that you can domesticate a cat and it remains domesticated even though you're not there. It's an incredible thing. It decides it's not going to live any differently. Now, coming down to the station now, so I'm going to have to shut up or I'll really embarrass everyone. I'll just close off. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.